It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 17, and we're going to read the chapter. We've gotten down through verse 7, but it all comes together, so we need to read it again. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 is where we're going to start today. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, phone number here at the church, 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And hope that you would look at the many studies, the plan of salvation, our Constitution, all those things will be found there. So please that you now take your Bibles, and we're going to begin with the reading of Revelation chapter 17 today. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go unto perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, on which the woman sits. There are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. He saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigned over the kings of the earth. Let's begin with prayer after reading that 17th chapter. Father, I just thank and praise you for the opportunity to study your precious word. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding to your precious word. We know, first of all, in order to hold on to this, to possess wisdom and understanding, we must know you as our Savior. We must have that personal relationship with you. And please, dear Lord, please, as we stand together with you, as we study your precious word, and we stand for you in this God-forsaken world that we live in today, that we will stand solid and true, that, Father, your power and strength can go through us, and we can serve you and praise you and honor you. But salvation must come first. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us and touch every heart today. Salvation, come into the hearts, and then begin to learn and grow and know how to serve and praise you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we find that, to begin with, the first greatest commandment, and we find that in Mark chapter 12, love the Lord thy God, the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's what we're supposed to do. This woman in chapter 17 here has turned the hearts of kings and multitudes of people to the gods other than Jehovah, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. She is the mother of all isms, if you would like to state it that way, all false religions, all cults, all religions and churches that have taken the truth and turned it to their own liking. She is the mother of everyone. Every book, every Bible, it's been changed. All these new versions that you have. It's the King James Version, the old King James. Stand for it, stand with it, study it, and you'll be just fine. So many are trying to, oh, that's just a little better, oh, this is a little better, oh, this is a little better. Don't be deceived by it, don't be tricked by it, because every time they make one thing, one area just a little better, they have also turned around and made 10 or 12 or 15 or 100 changes to the worse. So please, stay upon the Word of God. Because if you are abiding by these other versions that have come out, they've changed it, you have joined in with the team of the mother of harlots. You're on the devil's side. Oh, my preacher uses that other Bible. You can't say that. I know the power and the strength, and I know it's found in the King James, the old King James. Don't leave it. Don't leave it. Most of you have, I'm afraid. Come back with it, please. When and where did the mother of harlots begin? Is it just something that's going to come onto the scene? No. Let's look back to Genesis chapter 10. That's a long way. We're going to go back about 4,000 years here from today, and we're going to find someone called Noah. And in Noah's family, if you go to Genesis chapter 10, Genesis chapter 11, we're not going to read those chapters today, but I want you just to glance at chapter 10, and you'll find now these are the generations of the son of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Unto them were sons born after the flood. And you have the list of those, and if you get to verse 9, verse 8, you will find, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. If you look to that, you'll find on down in verse 11 of the 10th chapter of Genesis, out of the land went forth Ashur and builded Nineveh. And so you'll make some connections here. Now, where do we run into Nineveh? You'll find Jonah. There's no question, and all these cities were Gentile cities, very wicked cities. And then if you would go over with me into the 11th chapter, and we're doing this very quickly, so I really would appreciate if you could study this later today or another time. Genesis chapter 11, it says, verse 4, chapter 11, verse 4, and they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad unto the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down, verse 5, came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. This they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Now, if you'll realize, the Lord has already destroyed the earth once, destroyed all the inhabitants of the earth because of their wickedness. And just so quickly, we find now that they are building. They think they can work their way right to God. Now, these dates, you'll see, Noah was 5350 B.C., and so it was over 4,000 years ago. And then we get to the area here where we're building the city of Babel, building the tower, those things. They're trying to make themselves equal with God, and they can be as powerful as God, and they're just going to build this tower and get right to God. They can get right to heaven by building this tower, they thought. And so that would be in 2250, about 100 years later from the time of Noah. Now we find the beginning of the kingdom of Nimrod. That's the grandson of Ham. Babel or Babylon, land of Shinar, they were all of one speech. Nimrod means rebellious panther. We find this to be a forerunner of the Antichrist. The Lord Jesus called Abram out of Ur of Chaldees, which is in this region, and that was in the time period of about 2100 B.C., so it's about 100 to 150 years later after the Lord took their languages and confounded them. The seventh verse of Genesis chapter 11 tells us, "Go to, let us go down there and confound the language." And once again, understand the Trinity has always been there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. "Go to, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence unto the face of all the earth, and they left off the building of the city. Therefore the name is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. From thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. What's happening today? What is happening today? What the language barrier is once again been removed. And when the language barrier is removed, once again the wickedness of man, the ungodliness of man, grows at such a pace. And that's the reason I believe, as was before Noah, as the Tower of Babel, once again we're getting to the line, getting to that place where the Lord said, enough. And I believe he's going to take the church home. That's called the rapture of the church. And the tribulation period will begin that we're looking at here in Revelation. And so kind of get you together there. But what a sad, sad time. We have from Babylon, Ur is about 150 miles south. Nineveh is about 300 miles north. So that kind of gives you the area. And We have Baghdad today, and if you look on the map, you'll find that those two are not very far apart. So we're looking at a region that has been in war and fighting for so many years, and doesn't seem that they can ever have peace there. Under Nimrod's leadership, the people set out to build a city and a tower to reach up unto heaven, into God's house. And they thought they could do that. They intended to get to heaven by their own means and abilities. Boy, nothing has changed today. You change your religion just a little bit, add works to it, whether it be baptism or service of some sort. And when you do that, you find that as we see these things and we look to these things, we find that it is very easy to know what's going on and what we see. We sure need to be prepared and understand it has got to be God's way. That's the reason when we started out, we talked about the King James, the old King James. Stay with the old King James. Because what's going to happen is, maybe you're solid, maybe you're saved, but your children, your grandchildren, what hope do they have if you dilute the Word of God, if you begin to change the Word of God? Bible history tells us that this Nimrod, and this is going to be a name that you're a little familiar with, he was a community organizer. That's what he was. He was very good at what he was doing. Very wicked, but very good. It appears that he was the first earthly king. He was a tyrant, and he was the founder of this wicked community. Babel means gate to God, and that's what they were after. When you read these verses of Scripture, you look up the words, you find where it stands and what it means. This was the beginning of image worship. Idolatry was born in an intentional rebellion against God. It wasn't something just slight, but it was an outward rebellion against God. God stopped this city. He stopped the tower. He scattered the people. He brought confusion to their tongue, because instead of them bowing down and praising God and looking to Him for salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins, they went out to build their own city, their own tower, to build their to get their way all the way to the presence of God. In the heart of man remained the desire to worship idols. There is nothing in the heart of man that has us to worship Jehovah, the true God. That's the reason now during the church age, the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, shows you your sin, introduces you to the Lord Jesus. And that's when you need to say, yes, I believe that He is my Savior. That's all there is. It's that simple, that quick, but you must do that. You must follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, because in man's heart, there is a desire to worship idols. It is so sad that these idols that are upon this earth, it's the abominations of earth we need to stay away from. We need to look to the other, the power and the presence of God. You find here in the second verse, drunk with the wine of her fornication. Self-exalted. They have exalted themselves above God, against God. This wine of Babylon is the mother of harlots. The mother of harlots. What a sad, sad day to look through these words and see what is going on. And you can see what is happening clearly today. Now, this scarlet woman, arrayed with the world pleasures. So rebellion against God, we know. Marked as a harlot, mother of harlots and abominations, the scripture says. Born under Nimrod in ancient Babylon, she made earth drunk with the wine of her fornication. As we look at these steps here, and we find all this in these first seven verses of Scripture, drunken from the blood of saints and martyrs. These were witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she, through the time from Nimrod on, set out to murder and destroy. And that's what we find. This gives her a date back to the days of the prophets. So it goes all the way back. And when we find that there are many prophets that were put to death, it all stems back to the establishment of this idol worship through Nimrod and his wickedness. And it still is apparent today. This great whore, this scarlet woman, the great whore, is idolatry, it's false devotion. And when people worship as God that which is not God, but a God of their own making, that we find to be what the mother of harlots worshipped, idol worship. And so many today worship their own thinking, their own doing. All these things come to pass. She's no modern Babylon system. Most place her back in pagan Rome. But wherever believers suffer, in other words, this harlot that they're talking about here, wherever believers suffer for their faith in Jesus Christ and are persecuted for that faith, and many times even unto death, she's the problem. Starts all the way back here in the day of Nimrod, that great harlot. It says here in the 17th chapter, verse 1, sitteth on many waters. Waters, once again, are peoples. We can come to the 15th verse. And he saith to me, the waters which thou sawest were the where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. You see, Scripture confirms Scripture. And so what a joy. Multitudes and tongues and nations. So we learn that her teaching is universal. All peoples of all the world place their religions and their gods. Everything comes down once again to this individual and idol worship. In the darkest jungle, you will still find pagan and idol worship. You don't have to go to the streets of New York City. You don't have to go to Chicago. You don't have to go here to the Midwest. You can find it anywhere and everywhere because of what is in the heart of man. There's a hole there. There's something missing. And instead of turning to God, which we cannot do, but the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to do that. But naturally, we can't. So if you're trying to do something naturally, then immediately you go off into this idol worship and or try to change and refine the Word of God. Please don't. Stay with the Word of God. This woman was not only sitting upon many peoples, she was riding a beast full of names of blasphemy. It tells us we have seven heads and ten horns, we have read in this section of Scripture. This beast is the same that we have seen in Revelation chapter 13. This beast, which John saw here in 17:8, the beast that thou sawest was, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Back and forth. This beast that John saw was and then is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, then go into perdition. People of the earth will wonder at the sight. The beast is none other than the Roman Empire. The greatest time of power was when Jesus was born and stood until for the year 476. Rome was born in 753 BC. Since 476 AD, Rome has not been a world power. It will become a great power immediately after the rapture. If we be, it will be a 10-kingdom federation under the leadership of the beast. All the world will wonder at this mighty kingdom. That is everything that we're looking at here. Everyone will wonder at this mighty kingdom. And then it says, and go into perdition, be totally destroyed under the hand of judgment of the Lamb of God in the future. So it was, it isn't, and it will be, and then it will be destroyed. Let's look at this eighth verse once again. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. So you see, it's going to come up and then it's going to go back down. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Only those that were not written in the book of life, the ones that took the mark of the beast. If you're written in the book of life, you're going to see right through this individual. You want God's wisdom today? If you want God's wisdom and power, get saved. Come by faith to Jesus Christ and begin to walk with Him and serve Him, and He will give you an understanding and a wisdom that this world can't give. I don't care how much education you have. You cannot have enough education to get you wise to the world. You'll be confused. You'll question. You'll follow after ungodly things. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you will all of a sudden, God will and does give you understanding and wisdom. He gives us a local church so we can come together and grow together. But those whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, how can the names be written in the foundation of the world? If we go back into the Word of God, you'll find that the foreknowledge of God, He knew who was going to come by faith and who was not. And those are ones that are recorded and kept. There is not just some that can be saved and some cannot be saved. Everyone has the opportunity of salvation. So please look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Gain that wisdom and understanding, and take what you've learned in this world with the wisdom of God, and you're going to be able to have such an understanding, and you're going to be useful for God. Please don't waste your life. Look to the heart of God, and look for the will of God, and begin that walk. And again, whose name is not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, they're going to be so amazed, so taken by that. Verse 9, here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads of the seven mountains on which the woman sits. Seven heads, seven mountains, none other than the seven hills, seven-hilled city of Rome. We're going to have to stop there. Time goes so quickly. Please trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Look to Him for your salvation, and then enjoy a wonderful wonderful life serving him and praising him, and then eternal life goes with that. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?